backing away from them, I announced, "This chamber is two things at once. On the one hand, it's an exhibit of ancient fossils, mostly weird and funny-looking ones that did not evolve into any creatures known to us today. Evolutionary dead ends. At the same time, this place is a symbol for the world of thought as it existed before Canoas. In that age, there was a zoo of different thought ways, most of which would seem crazy to us now. These two were evolutionary dead ends. They are extinct, except among primitive tribes in remote places." As I was saying this, I was leading them around a couple of turns toward a much bigger and brighter space. "They are extinct," I continued, "because of what happened to this man as he was walking along a riverbank 7,000 years ago." And I stepped forth into the rotunda, quickening my pace to draw the group along in my wake. A long pause now, so as not to ruin the moment. The central sculpture was more than 6,000 years old. It had been a world-famous masterpiece for almost that long. How it had found its way to this continent and this rotunda was a long and lively story in itself. It was of white marble, double life-size, though it seemed even bigger because it was up on a huge stone pedestal. It was Canoas, aged but muscular, with long wavy beard and hair, sprawled back against the gnarled roots of a tree, staring up in awe and astonishment. As if to shield himself from the vision, he had raised a hand, but could not resist the temptation to peek over it. Gripped in his other hand was a stylus. Tumbled at his feet were a ruler, a compass, and a tablet graven with precisely constructed circles and polygons. Barb hadn't looked at the ceiling when he had come in here for the first time. This was because Barb's brain was so organized that he was blind to facial expressions. Everyone else, even I, who had seen it many times, looked up to see what was having such an effect on poor old Canoas. The answer, at least ever since the statue had been installed here, was an oculus, or a hole at the apex of the rotunda dome, shaped like an isosceles triangle and letting in a beam of sunlight. "Canoas was a master stonemason," I began. "On one ancient tablet, which was made before he had his vision, he is described by an adjective that literally means one who is elevated. This might mean either that he was especially good at being a stonemason or that he was some kind of holy man in the religion of his place and time. At the command of his king, he was building a temple to a god. The stone was quarried from a place a couple of miles upriver and floated down to the building site on rafts." Here one of the slimes broke in with a question, and I had to stop and explain that all of this had happened far away and that I was not speaking of our river or our quarries. A jee-jaw began to crow a ridiculous tune. I waited for its owner to stifle it before I continued. "Canoas would draw up measurements on a wax tablet and then walk up to the quarry to give instructions to the stonecutters. One day he was trying to work out a particularly difficult problem in the geometry of the piece he needed to have cut. Under the shade of a tree that grew on the riverbank, he sat down to work on this problem, and there he had a vision that changed his mind and his life. Everyone agrees on that much, but his description of that vision comes to us indirectly, through these women." I extended my arm toward a pair of slightly smaller sculptures, which, inevitably, formed an isosceles triangle with that of Canoas. "His daughters Hylea and Deot, thought to be fraternal twins." Counterbasians were way ahead of me. They had already moved to the foot of Deot and knelt down to pray. Some were rummaging in their bags for candles. Others, peering into their jee-jaws as they snapped phototypes, stumbled and collided. Deot was a cloaked figure sunk to her knees, facing toward Canoas, her garment shielding her face from the light of the oculus. Our mother Hylea, by contrast, stood erect, pulling her cloak back to bare her head, the better to gaze straight up into the light. With her other hand, she was pointing at it, and her lips were parted, as if she were just beginning to offer up some observation.